Well, we've got game two coming up of Giants-Dodgers 2021, and Bruce Jenkins joins us. Bruce, how are you?
Good, Marty. How's it going?
Pretty good. Last night we had the villain came out, and today we've got Scott Kazmir, and it's truly Giants-Dodgers.
Yeah, that's a couple of wacky developments. Yeah, Bauer.
Really?
he was great last night. His pitching was great, and he was like the second coming of Tommy Lasorda, the way he opened his arms to the heckling crowd as he left the field. It's beautiful. He loves that kind of thing, and you know, he doesn't mind that sort of atmosphere like at all. He kind of thrives on it. So, you know, good for him. It was a fun night. Amazing day in baseball, really. As you go, watching the highlights last night, I mean, you know, Jesse Winkler, what's he going to – is he the best hitter in the game now? Steven Strasburg comes back. The great catch by Lorenzo Cain. Ramon Laureano had an amazing game. The Yanks pulled a triple play. Great pitching in that game. And Tatis and Bauer are just an amazing, tremendous day in baseball.
Did you see the Braves?
Yeah, Acuna hit a slam and
20-1.
Well, how about this, Marty? Everybody's talking about we need some more scoring. I just looked this up a minute ago. Over the last 2 days, there have been scores of 11-3, 12-3, 10-zip, 10-1, 16-1, 19-4, and 20-1. That's in 2 days.
Sounds like Bill Lasky's pitching.
Hey, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. You can't go there with me that bad, Marty. Come on.
The end of your career. Just the end of your career.
What a bust, Bill. Come on.
He put me through the window right there, Bruce. Hey, I want to ask you something about that. You know, with all the scoring so high and things like that, there's got to be a rotating door for pitchers in AAA. Look what's going on today with Kazmir and Tropiano. You know, you're going to see more young guys. But my question to you is Camilo Duvall gets sent down? Finally, I think that's what a lot of fans would like to see him, a little more confidence on the mound, getting associated with the fastball and the slider more. I'd like to hear what you both think of that move.
Well, I mean, when he first showed up on the mound, he looked like, man, this guy is ready. He throws tremendous heat, and he's got a pretty good-looking slider. And, you know, it didn't work out, and he had the disastrous outing against Pittsburgh, and I think it was pretty clear at that point that they're throwing him into the fire a little bit too soon, and that was a kind of a shattering experience. And but I think we were talking about it last week where you don't want to just send him down right then. You know, you want to send him out with a little bit of, you know, feeling a little bit better about himself, have an outing where he does well. And unfortunately, he had that outing against the Reds, but he comes in with an 18-1 lead and walks the first guy on four pitches. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, whoa! So it was really time to go then. I mean, I think he's seems like a pretty confident kid. You know, we don't get a chance to be around him, but I think he's going to go down and dominate and eventually come back.
Well, he's going to be terrific, and I agree with you. It was a 19-run game, and he's walking people. I saw it. I mean, it was ridiculous. But what he's got to do, Bill, Bruce, in my opinion, is establish his fastball as his pitch and say, look, you know, here it comes. You hit this, and then we'll start talking, and not keep throwing all the sliders. And I think that's what got him in trouble. Look, the big leagues are tough. And the hitters are tough, and I think he just got overwhelmed. So I'm glad he's gone back.
Yeah, and you know, mix it up. He can drill you low or high, not drill you, but he can throw strikes with a good pitch down around the knees, and he can get it up high too. You know, get him different sidelines for the hitter, and don't try not to pipe it every time. But he certainly can't lose his faith in his fastball. That's for sure.
Well, when you're throwing 100 miles an hour, and that's what he did, and he's thrown as a secondary pitch, that's wrong. I mean, that's not how you learn how to pitch at 23 years old.
Exactly.
You have an electric arm. You got to use it. And now you use your slider as a secondary pitch. It's still a nasty slider when he throws it. But I still think when Marty and I talked about when he gave up the home run, I think it was to Profar in San Diego on a fastball, he changed everything.
Uh-huh.
And he just started throwing more sliders. He didn't even throw anything off speed. And he turned into a whistler in front of our eyes. And there's no way he can do that.
The Whistler, I love it.
The Whistler, you mean a...
I knew his mother. I never knew him.
Whistler the pitcher, is that who you mean?
That's who I'm talking about, okay. The slider man.
All right, interesting. You know, we had Eno Saris on earlier today. Bill did a fabulous interview with him. If you missed it, it's going to be archived at our podcast page on KMBR or loveoftheGameProductions.com. Mm-hmm. But my point to you, Bruce, this starting staff, man, this is like throwing Marichal out there just, you know, three or four times a week. And the stats, the analytics, hard hit ball rate, this and that, and all the numbers that we don't even know what they're talking about, just are off the charts for this starting rotation.
Yeah, it's just so comfortable. You know, as a fan, when the other team comes up, you just expect good things to happen. You know, Lord knows Gosman's damn near unhittable now, and you know, they don't even have Webb or Sanchez right now. We'll see how Kazmir works out, but that's temporary. But I tell you, you got to credit Farhan Zaidi for, you know, all five of these guys are on one-year deals. Mm-hmm. You know, they're helping them right away, and we'll see where it goes. But it's not like they're breaking the bank or, you know, relying too heavily on veterans. They're relying on guys that have reasonable deals and are, in the meantime, very, very good. Alex Wood, you know, he's typifies there's a little bit of surprise element to it. I mean, he's been great at times in his career, but he's really got it together right now. Then you get Cueto and Gosman. It's just it's really a treat.
And Di Sclafani.
Yeah, oh yeah. Once again, there's another guy who's routinely good out there.
Mm. You know, one of the things that I've been reading is all of a sudden speculation is coming out when you're looking at some of these teams in the basement, and one of them was the Nationals. And everybody was talking about where Scherzer going to be traded for. As you know, he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And one of the teams they had talked about was the Giants. Do you see something like this unifying, Bruce?
Well, if I'm Scherzer, I certainly wouldn't mind coming here. I don't know how he feels about East Coast versus West Coast, but great park to pitch in. The Giants are obviously on the rise, and you know, they're going to be in position to make a free agent splash with the way their books are coming down to almost nothing, really. So it's definitely within their – I mean, they made a huge offer to Harper when it was probably out of their means, but, you know, they'll do that. They'll put the money out there if it's somebody they want. Oh, my God, Max Scherzer, I'd rather watch him pitch than anybody. I love that guy. I love the competitive nature. He can hit, although maybe as of next year pitchers won't be hitting, but he's just a really great athlete and a money pitcher, really, really somebody you'd want to have. And, that you'd sign for, you know, not for 15 years or whatever the contracts are now, but how about three, you know?
Yeah, I'd love it. You know, someone posted this or either sent me a text or something about this week, that prior to the game, the teams or baseball or ESPN should put out some of these percentages so we know what they're talking about, such as hard hit ball rate, ground ball rate. Eno talked about the Giants' ground ball rate is one of the best in baseball today. Tough chances and stuff like that. So we know what they know, as opposed to just looking at, you know, an earned run average or a batting average. It really gives you some depth. I thought that was a good idea. I'd like to know some of that stuff. And even a casual fan, you could put it in there in percentages, walk percentage, something that's easy to understand.
And once you do that, I think the announcers would be a lot more comfortable, you know, coming out with the stats on the air. Mm-hmm. I know they're wary of overloading it for fans who just aren't used to it. But if you're talking about something like, you know, the Giants have more hard hit balls, you know, as a team, or this guy has more, or the pitchers give up more ground balls. That stuff is very meaningful. Mm-hmm. It's something anybody can understand. So yeah, I mean, once it becomes a little bit more in the lingo of fans, and it will. That's just a natural order of things, and you'll start hearing on the broadcast more.
You know, Bruce, one of the things that I'm seeing more of is technology in the dugouts. You see guys on laptops. You're watching your last swing. You're watching what the pitchers throw. This is all new to me. Of course, when we played, all you had was, you know, scouting reports from a guy that watched the team the last time they played.
Yeah.
You know, the technology now, I mean, literally you're seeing guys right down a row with their own laptop. Have you seen this, and do you think this is good for baseball?
No, I really don't. I got to go old school on this one. You know, you see an outfielder consulting his laminated card, and the manager's got an iPad in the dugout, and guys, instead of staying in the dugout, watching the game, being in tune with the game, and the guys retreating in to see if the umpire really blew that 3-1 call, that's all too much for me. I like the game a little more simplistic. I like it when everybody's sort of in the same boat as well as the fans, except for that one scout. I mean, you go out there and you see what happens. You know, I mean, you don't base everything on what happened yesterday or 10 minutes ago. That it's bothersome to me, but it's certainly not going to go away. I mean, they had the video room shut down last year, and I thought that was great. You know, I mean, just go on your instincts and what happened. You know, and take it from there. Play the game. A lot of guys were super upset about that. J.D. Martinez was a big proponent of that, and he had stats to prove it and everything. And now he's got the video room, and he's raking. So it certainly does help a lot of guys. But, Bill, just in general, I don't like any of that stuff just because of where I come from and how the game I've watched all these years.
Well, you and Tony La Russa, but I think we're going to have a division of opinion here. You and Tony are going to go different ways on what happened this week.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the Mercedes at bat was got a lot of flack. I mean, just to summarize, I mean, it was a runaway game, and the Twins, even though they had five relievers available, they threw out Astudillo, who was a big guy who plays at first base and catcher. It is, you know, the typical late inning guy to wrap up a game, and Mercedes comes up, and he's literally the hottest hitter in the game. He's leading the league in hittings, and still is. And it gets to 3-0, and Tony claimed to have yelled out a take sign or given it to the third base coach, and Mercedes either didn't get it or didn't care. And on 3-0, he swings away and hits it out. And I'm thinking, yes, right, that's exactly what he did. That's what Fernando Tatis did last August, and that incident really changed a lot about old school unwritten rules, you know, because these guys, you know, they want their stats. They're not going to sit there and play along when the other team's sort of given up, you know, and throwing a catcher out there. Hell with it. I'm jacking this ball out of here if I can. And that's exactly what they do. And good. I like Mercedes saying that I'm not going to change. This is what I am. And Tony, you know, there was a time, certainly, when you just didn't swing away on 3-0 in a lot of cases, especially in this one, but it's just a different time, and I get where Tony's coming from there. But what he did, the biggest mistake he did was just ripping Mercedes in public, instead of keeping it in house, because that now you got guys in the clubhouse, including Tim Anderson, who's very influential on that club, backing Mercedes. Keep it up, do what you do. You know, it's a different time now, and that can't be good. If there's some grumbling in the clubhouse, I just can't. So I think they're still going to get to the playoffs no matter what happens. But Tony took an awful lot of heat there, and I think it was warranted.
I think he took a lot of heat because he did that. He went into the news and talked about his player instead of keeping it in a house. Bruce Bochy never did that. You never heard Bruce Bochy throw one person under the bus in his post-game reports.
Exactly.
Never. He always took it upon himself, or he said he gave it his best. Mm-hmm. Tony La Russa is putting a wall between himself and that clubhouse, and it's going to tear it down. If he loses this time with this team, I don't know if he's going to last 3 years, Marty.
No, I agree with you. And basically, you know, he said there's sportsmanship in the game, and there is no sportsmanship anymore in the game. Basically, you're here to score runs, and, you know, they don't police the game by themselves anymore. So you can't have Mercedes being knocked down the next day because the pitcher will be thrown out for a week. So basically, you play the game the way you want to play it, and Tony would like more sportsmanship, but that is not part of baseball today. That's my feeling, Bruce.
Yeah, the new word is showmanship.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
sportsmanship went out the window.
Yeah.
And that's just where's
Sportsman's Park when we need it?
It's now Busch Stadium. Oh, they tore that down too. That's right. I forgot about that. But, hey, people went gaga last night when Yastrzemski threw Bauer out at first base from right field on the single. But, you know, let's face it, he was playing very shallow. And Bauer is not an accomplished hitter or runner. And he had him by a mile. But, you know, look, Andre Dawson, Ellis Valentine, Dave Winfield. We used to see this all the time. They'd take a shot at first base. And people went nuts last night like it had never happened before.
Oh, no, it's I wouldn't say it's common. But, yeah, it's happened a lot. And, my God, he looked like Ellis Valentine with that throw. What a rocket. I mean, it was pretty close range. But, I mean, my goodness. What a pill he threw there, and but yeah, I mean, that's just smart baseball. If you're in right field and a guy comes up who might just, you know, poke one out toward you, you're playing chow already. You charge it in earnest, and there's just never a doubt in your mind. And it really wasn't even that close.
Yeah, I was at that game when Crook said that when Fred Brining got thrown out of first base by Andre Dawson. And I tell you what, that was in Montreal, and the whole bench fell over because, of course, people didn't do it that. But when it happens, the pitcher's usually the guy because he hits a ball to right field, and he's thinking, oh, I'm just going to cruise the first. I got a base hit. And just like Bauer, Brining went halfway through, and the mouth opened up going, oh, my goodness, the right fielder threw me out. But it's part of the game, and I loved it, and I loved what Kapler said. He had a plan once that ball was hit to him, and he did it exactly right. He sure did.
He's turned into a pretty good right fielder, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I like him out there. Yeah, he's fearless. He goes after the ball, you know, toward the wall, and he's obviously got a really good arm. He's just a smart player. He's pretty much kind of a fixture out there now.
Mm. Bruce, one historical note we'll touch on before we say goodbye for today, and of course talk to you tomorrow. 1963, and people have put this on the internet today, Mickey Mantle hits the facade at Yankee Stadium off the Bill Fisher, who I loved, is a great guy, of Kansas City. But this ball would have gone out of Yankee Stadium, the only one to have ever gone out, but it didn't make it. It hit the facade, and one of the most famous homers in baseball.
Yeah, there's a great photo that was treated with an arrow showing the path of the ball, and you get a real sense of what the old Yankee Stadium looked like. It was absolutely enormous, and way up there at the top of the stadium was the facade of this place, just an inconceivable place to actually hit the ball. And Mantle hit a ball that a lot of people, including Tony Kubek, swore it was still rising when it was a line drive. It was still rising when it hit the facade, and there's a website called themick.com that claims it was. Well, how long was it then? If it hit the facade, it bounced all the way back to the field. It was hit so hard. So you're getting out the calculus and the abacus and all your theories, and they came up with 734 feet if it had unencumbered by the stadium. But oh my God, Mantle said it was the hardest ball he ever hit, and. There were tales that he hit a ball out of Yankee Stadium in batting practice a couple of times in batting practice. So, oh my God, the Mick.
I love those pictures with the arrows.
Yeah,
we used to see them in New York.
This is one of the best ones ever.
Yeah, the New York Daily News. Yeah, the Daily News used to have it all the time on the back page. You know, you'd see the arrows where the ball would go. That was good stuff. Good stuff. Well, Giants. Dodgers today again, and I said this last night on Twitter. I'll say it on the show today. You never leave until the last out. Something always happens that you never expect in Giants-Dodgers. Isn't that true?
No, it's so true. Absolutely. Of all games, that's the one. Because something nutty will happen. It's only been happening since like 1905, so I think it's a little tradition.
Is Brooklyn still in the league?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I love it. Bruce, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in the morning.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks a lot, guys. Talk then.
All right. That is the great Bruce Jenkins. All right. I want to tell you, I really enjoyed the Eno Saris interview. I thought it was terrific, Bill.
Well, I tell you what, he's got so much fabulous information, and we just tried to, you know, narrow it down
really
on what we could talk about. And I think you're totally right, Marty, about getting stats and some information out to the listeners while you're watching the game because it means so much. You know, you look at the ground ball rate. You know, Alex Wood, he was averaging 10, 11 ground balls at one time in Colorado. 11 ground balls in 5 innings. And, you know, just, you're like, wow, that's a lot. But it is. It's what you want to do. And strikeouts to walks, those are all variables for pitching that, you know, are succeed. You succeed by learning about him and know about him. And as you say, Enos is fantastic.
Yeah, he's good. That's why the Cardinals are a little question mark there. Walk percentage of the pitchers. Mm-hmm. It's very high, and you can't win if you keep walking people at the rate they're doing it. So there's that little cloud over the St. Louis Cardinals, and I've read about that with some of these numbers. All right, we'll take a break. Kerry Crowley will join us. We've got much more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.